Hello and welcome to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Salen and I am happy to report that I am broadcasting today directly from our studios at KZSB AM 1290 in Santa Barbara, where it is absolutely gorgeous. It is a little unseasonably hot here, but compared to where I came from in the valley of LA, where it was sweltering, this is balmy and quite beautiful. I love it up here in Santa Barbara, and I am very happy to be back, see my friends at the station, my producer Richard Dugan, my station manager Les Carroll, and all the other happy faces here. Where is Arthur von Weisenberger when I want to see him? I know I post-seed him. What is that? Afterwards? Post-seed? Pre-seed? I don't know what that is. I follow him. How about that? It's a very tough word. This week's column is called Observations of Boston. Because until this past Friday, I was in Boston helping my sophomore son finish up his sophomore year, pack up and leave Boston for good. He's done with Boston. He's done with college there, at least. What he'll be doing is kind of a big mystery, but that's the joy of raising a young kid these days, where the options are many, the opportunities are fewer, and the resilience and passion and perseverance of our young ones is really up in the air and questionable. But I think he'll ultimately do fine. I got to see what life was like right in the middle of a city because I rented a small apartment, and that was really interesting. I don't want to live in a city like that. I went to Fenway Park when they were playing the Yankees, a three-game home series. Game one, Boston lost. Game two, I attended. They won by a blowout. Game three, they lost. So I went to the right game. It was also the game in which the New York Yankees pitcher, I forgot his name, was caught with pine tar on his neck blatantly and thrown out of the game. And that was quite dramatic. It was freezing in Fenway Park, but I got a huge kick out of being there. It's a 100-year-old institution. Last year, of course, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. And the day before I was there, they ran the marathon after last year's tragedy at the marathon. So Boston Strong was all over the place. The energy in Boston was incredible. Excuse me. And I mostly enjoyed it. My son's somewhat sour mood at times was not very pleasant. I made a new friend at the very end of the show. Her name is Sylvia. So a shout out, excuse me, the very end of my visit. So a shout out to Sylvia in San Jose. She is a civil servant. And if they made civil servants that look like her more often, I might go into the government. Anyway, it was fun to meet her and all the other people I did meet. One of my observations in Boston that was somewhat troubling was the times that I ate out, which was not that often. I actually cooked for myself and brought in food from the local Trader Joe's and Whole Foods to eat in my little apartment. But the times I ate out, with and without my son, I was invariably served by a young man or woman who had graduated college anywhere from a year or two or three or four prior. And in some cases, they had graduated with an engineer's degree. And in every case, they were unemployed as far as their designated and chosen and hoped for profession. They were working as a waiter or a waitress. They were 22, 24, 26, 28. I remember the last one who served me was a lovely young gal, 25 years old, engineer. She had been laid off from a job she'd only had for 6 months and had been waiting at this particular restaurant for over 2 years. Her boyfriend was a bicycle mechanic. He was 28 years old. Don't know if he had gone to college or not. Irrelevant. He probably actually has a good job. She was not wanting to be a waitress for life, but had kind of burned out about looking for jobs. So our kids are facing a really interestingly different time. And as I write about and speak about lately a lot, we are the first generation of parents. I'm talking about the boomer parents, and the ones that have followed are certainly in the same boat. We are the first generation of parents that is not overtly expecting our children to do better than we did. I can only speak for myself. I had a lucky run, so I did pretty well in my life professionally. I would love my kids just to come close to the apparent success I had. I mean, it's all subjective. But if they even come close to the good fortune I had in my career, both fun-wise, learning-wise, and earnings-wise, I will be thrilled. Right now, I don't see, given their direction in life, where that upside is unless either one of them becomes a star. And I mean that literally, since one is really focused on the music world and the other is focused on musical theater, the only way I could see either one of them making a nice living is if they became stars. I think they both have talent. But I'm not unrealistic, having worked in showbiz, to think that my boys are going to be the ones to break out in one of the most difficult worlds there is, which is showbiz, and particularly as a performer. I actually think my music son has more opportunities because he's interested in both sides. He loves to perform, but he's equally interested in the business side and management and writing. My younger son is right now just really focused on performing. I think he has enough talent and brains to potentially learn behind the stage jobs, whether it's directing, writing, or various stage-oriented jobs. But I don't know. Either way, my expectation is that I'll be supporting my kids for the till the end of time. And I know a lot of parents fear that. One of the things I may talk about with one of my special guests today is the fact that 85% of college grads return home to live for extended periods of time today. Now, I can only speak for myself, but I did not know a single person that graduated from college when I graduated that went back home to live. All of us did what I did. We visited occasionally our parents, and I loved my folks very much. But I was on my own at 19. I graduated college at 19, and I was on my own at 19. And I had an apartment with two other guys. We each had our own bedroom. It wasn't some crammed up thing. It was a decent sized duplex, actually. And we each had our own bedroom. And then later on, I had my own place. And then at 24, I actually bought my first house with my best friend. And 2 years later, he got engaged and I bought him out. And I have had my own home or homes ever since. I have a hard time just seeing anything near that path for my boys or many of the kids that I meet. This worries me. This worries me about our kids in the future. So let me give you a little bit of news as I ramble all over the place. It's so nice to be in my home station looking at my producer with his ragged beard and actually running the board and paying attention instead of when I'm on Skype and I hear him snoring in the background. It's kind of nice to be here. You can't get away with that when I'm right here. The new Because I Said So comic strip is, in fact, called Dad Loves Fenway. And it is inspired, to some degree, by my experience of going to Fenway. As you know, if you've ever looked at the Because I Said So comic strips, they are, of course, not based on me or my younger son, but they are inspired, to a degree, by things that I observe. Tonight at Dad Chat, we are taking on a very tough topic. And as I wrote the pre-chat post, I didn't realize that my wording could be as controversial as it turned out to be, and is, as I now realize. The topic is our kids' sexuality and what choice or do they choose their sexuality. And I included LGBT or straight. What will our kids choose or something to that effect? And I know in some communities there's a very, very firm belief that there's no choice. In other communities, there's a belief that there is a choice. I actually believe both exist. I believe that some people have absolutely no choice. They're born a certain way, one way or the other. And that some other men and women do have a choice. And it's influenced by events in life, often a horrific one. So very severe abuse of some kind can potentially influence sexuality, tragedy, other things. That's my belief and my experience. But we will discuss how we as parents deal with our kids' emerging sexuality and especially how to deal with some of the alternative sexualities that are, of course, more mainstream now. If your child shows up, a boy, cross-dressing, how are you going to react to that? Are you going to be angry or supportive? And how would you be supportive? And what would you do with certain kinds of questions? So this is a really interesting topic that we're going to do tonight at Dad Chat. Dad Chat, of course, is every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. East Coast time. Sometimes we have big sponsors. Sometimes we have big giveaways. This week's I'm Not That Dad vlog is called Opening Night, also inspired by Boston. It is the opening night of the Boston Pops, and I recorded probably not kosher, but they didn't seem to care. It was they were doing a John Philip Sousa march, and it was just so spirited I couldn't help but turn on my iPhone. So I recorded it the last number that the Boston Pops did after Jason Alexander had performed for opening night of the Boston Pops. So that is what's going on. No time for a life lesson. Not much more on my observations about Boston. We will take a break, and then Pastor Drew Sams will join us after these commercials.